1 Samuel chapter 23, resuming our study in verse 13. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Then David and his men, which were about 600, rose and departed out of Keilah and went wherever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. In other words, he stopped going out. David and company could not go wherever they wanted. They were forced to go wherever they could. It's good to remember that God has never promised Christians their own way. It's important to understand that so that we don't complain when we don't have it, as if it was somehow promised. 14, and David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. David was not where he wanted to be, but God was with him. And we may not be able to do everything we want to do, but God will be with us wherever we are. And we can always ride out the storm by hanging on to him. 15, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the forest and strengthened his hand in God. Jonathan will never do the big outward things for God that David will eventually do. But if it wasn't for Jonathan and his behind-the-scenes ministry, his ministry of encouragement, if it wasn't for that, maybe David doesn't go on to do those big things for God either. Never underestimate the importance of your encouragement to others. 17, and he said to him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you, and you shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you, and that also Saul my father knows." David needs to remember God's word to him. He's going to be the next king of Israel. That means he can't die in the wilderness because God's word has not come to pass yet. You know, what we need today more than anything is a fresh reminder of God's truth so that we can find strength to endure through any rough days we might be going through. 18. And they too made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the forest, and Jonathan went to his house. This is the third time these two made a covenant of friendship before the Lord. When you're living for the Lord, it's good to remember. It's good to be reminded that there are those who are standing with you. It's good to be reminded of that over and over again, because I think we all need it, especially if you're taking a tough stand. 19. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Does not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the forest, in the hill of Hekelah, which is on the south of Jeshimon?" Ziph was a town located within David's home tribe of Judah. So what we have here are David's own relatives selling him out. Saul was king, so he had influence. David was living out in the wilderness, so he had nothing to offer these people. They sided with the world instead of with God because they wanted immediate gratification, not long-term eternal rewards. 20. Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. To Saul, David was an itch right in the middle of his back that he could not reach. He could not scratch it. These Ziphites are offering to scratch that itch. The only way to get in good with an impenitent sinner is to feed their lust and give them what they want. But that is wrong, and in eternity, it's not going to be worth it. 21. And Saul said, "Blessed be you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me." Saul is so self-centered. This is unbelievable to me. He is so self-centered that he actually believes God is on his side in his attempt to kill David. He is self-centered, and along with that, he's full of self-pity, and he's happy to find someone else who feels sorry for him. 22. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know, and see his place where his haunt is, and who has seen him there. For it is told me that he deals very subtly. Implication? David is sly, underhanded, and will do anything to take advantage of someone else. Well, you know what? David is pretty clever. Not to take advantage of others, but to avoid being murdered. Don't be surprised if someone misrepresents you. The devil is really good, and his crowd is as well, really good at doing that to God's people. 23. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides himself, and come you again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. Saul asked the Ziphites to do the preliminary work. And I hate to draw a good lesson from a miserable wretch like Saul, but there actually is one. He let other people do what they could do. He didn't try to do everything himself. And I pulled that out as a principle because Jesus himself said that the children of this world are wise. And wise in the ways of doing evil, but nevertheless wise. And some of those principles, of course, of wisdom, they come right from the Bible. And unfortunately, some people use them successfully to do evil. God's word works. 24. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. David heard that Saul was hot on his trail, so he went out further into the wilderness. Which just goes to show. Now keep in mind, David has not disobeyed God in any way. He loves God. He serves God. And it just goes to show that sometimes things get worse before they get better, even for God's good people. And those are the times that we have to bear down and get closer to God than ever and just keep on trusting him. 26. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David, and his men round about to take them. David tried to get away from Saul, but he could not do it. He is surrounded by Saul and his men. He's surrounded by trouble with nowhere to go. But you know what? David is still better off than Saul. It's not good to belong to Jesus and to be surrounded by trouble. But it's not as bad as the eternal torment that those who don't belong to Christ will suffer in the lake of fire. 27. But there came a messenger to Saul, saying, "Haste you, and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Salah Ham Malikath. Boy, that's a long word. Salah Ham Malikath. And David went up from there and dwelt in strongholds at En Gedi. When there seemed to be no way out for David, Saul would get sidetracked, and David had his way out. Amazing how that happens. The Philistines didn't have any desire to help David, but God made sure that they did. If and when God wants to deliver us from trouble, he has many ways of doing that. Just trust God. Trust him. Not to improve your circumstances, but to do the best, to do what is best. Then if he does improve things, well, that's a major bonus. Chapter 24, and it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En Gedi." God is bouncing Saul all over the place. He had been on David's trail earlier, closing in too. Then God sent some invading Philistines to divert him, and now he's back looking for David. Life is a gift, but for a lost soul like Saul, his gift is being wasted. He's going from place to place, accomplishing absolutely nothing. And that's because he's out of the will of God. Moral will of God, that is. 2. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. 3,000 troops that could have been doing something important are instead chasing Saul's fictitious enemy. Sinners chase the wind, which is why it's so important that we live for God. Because if we live for God, we'll make the most out of every second that we have. Rebel against God, and you squander your life, and then burn in hell to boot. 3. And he came to the sheepfolds by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, means to relieve himself. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Wow, 3,000 men can do an awful lot for a king, can't they? But they could not change Saul's metabolism. You cannot take 3,000 bodyguards into the bathroom with you. And consequently, Saul, right now, is very vulnerable. He walks into the cave where David and his men are hiding. Talk about being vulnerable. And we'll see what happens next time.